Welcome to the Youth Podcast of Temple Baptist Church. This message was originally delivered on May 10th, 2006. Thank you for listening in with us again this week as we continue our study in Genesis. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 6, and as you're doing so, let me give you a couple of announcements. First of all, do not forget what is happening on June the 3rd. Working at the car wash, yeah. Come on and sing it with me, car wash. Sing it with the feeling now, car wash, yeah. That's right. Don't forget that June the 3rd is our youth car wash, and we're raising money for our mission trip to Mobile, Alabama. If you still need to turn in your deposits, go ahead and get those to me as soon as possible, or at least call me up. Let me know, hey, I'm really going to go on the trip. Give me a dollar, whatever it is, to reserve your spot. You can do that. Also, remember to continue to get your car wash donations. And remember, if you get 15 people to give you $20 a piece, you will have paid for your entire trip. Also, don't forget, on Wednesday the 17th, we will not have normal youth services. Instead, we are going to go to the baccalaureate service. Be sure that if you're going to come to that, tell your parents. And we're going to meet up here about 6:45, get in the vans, go over to the baccalaureate service, and then we will return back at church a little after 8. So let your parents know what's going on and come on out to support our seniors on Wednesday, May the 17th. Surely by now you have your Bible and you have it open to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to be reading today out of the New International Version, NIV, and let's begin with verse 1. When men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal." Skipping with me over to verse 5, the Bible reads, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them.'" In our study that we've been doing on Wednesday nights and talking about Genesis, we've dealt with, first of all, understanding that God has created the entire world. He's created us with a purpose. We have a purpose in life and things that God has for us to do. And if we follow God and God's purposes, we're going to have the best in life. We also learned that there was a time that Adam and Eve in the garden messed up and sin entered the world and corrupted them and humanity from then on. Adam and Eve had children, Cain and Abel, and we learned from them that they were already corrupted as Cain dealt with these emotions that was in him, and the anger came out, and instead of dealing with them appropriately, he dealt with it inappropriately, and he killed his brother. And you see the sin that has already began to corrupt mankind. And now we enter Genesis chapter 6, where we see that God looks down upon mankind and sees how wicked and horrible and evil man has become. And because of that, he is grieved. He sees man's sin and he is grieved. Remember that we serve a God who is real, and he knows us intimately, and we have this relationship with him. And this is a God who not only can create the heavens and the earth, but who can affect our life right now, today, at this very moment. And think about this. This same God, when he sees our sin, he's grieved. Have you ever thought that you could actually grieve God? Well, this is true. When God sees our sin, he is grieved. He experiences this pain and this sorrow. And I would personally hate to think that I make God sorry that he created me. And yet I know that my wickedness that is within me and the sin that is in my life not only grieves God, but it is something that God hates. And I don't know about you, but I think any time is a good time to get rid of things that God hates. Well, when God looks at the wickedness of man, he is grieved. Through the many generations from Adam to Noah, the world had become increasingly wicked. And God was grieved because of the wickedness of the people he created, and so he intended to destroy all wickedness. But this is the same God who is angry and whose wrath burns against the world that is full of sin and wickedness is also the same God who gives us a second chance and who gives us grace. Something else that we find in the Bible is that regardless of how evil the world becomes, God offers a way out for the righteous. Out of all of these people that God wanted to destroy because of their wickedness, there was one person, Noah, who found favor in the eyes of God. And so look with me in Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. God says, "I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it, and everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, and two of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive." Noah is humanity's way out. God was ready to destroy everything, and yet in Noah he found favor. Noah was a man who walked with God. Noah was a righteous man. Noah had a relationship with God, and he sought to live right. And from this, God found favor with him. God told Noah to build an ark and then told him how to build it and gave him all of these directions and very specific. And then the same flood that would destroy all of life on earth would lift Noah and his family up to safety. You see, Noah lived a righteous lifestyle and obeyed God, and because of that, God rescued Noah and his entire family. And so do bad things happen to good people? Yes. Bad things happen to good people all of the time. And if you look in Noah's life, this flood that is destroying their entire world and everything that they knew and their home and all of their stuff and all of these animals, this is not a good thing. And yet Noah found favor in God's eyes, and he was able to survive the flood because of God. And the same thing happens in our world today. You see, as Christians, we are not protected from bad things happening to us, but we are able to get through it because of God helping us and leading us and giving us the strength to get through it. Bad things are still going to happen to us. Bad things will still happen to good people, but we have God who gets us through all of those situations. But because of God's hatred for the wickedness in the world, God completely destroyed all life on earth. And on your own time, you could continue to read through Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7 and 8 and 9, which is this whole story of Noah. But in Genesis chapter 7, we read about God. He poured rain on all the earth for 40 days and 40 nights and filled the entire earth. And in doing so, the water surged on the face of the earth for 150 days and killed all life on earth. Anything that was breathing, anything that was living was destroyed because of this flood. And not because God is a mean, evil God, but because God is so holy and so righteous that these people's wickedness and sinfulness was such an offense to him that he had to destroy them. Yet we see he provides a way out through Noah. And in Genesis chapter 8, we see that Noah exits the ark. And what is the first thing that Noah does when he exits the Ark of the Covenant and he walks out on dry land? He worships God. God kept his promise to Noah, just like God keeps his promise to us today. God promises us so many different things. And as you read the Bible, you find out that God promises that we will be his children, but it's only through Jesus Christ that we get to the Father. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can even see heaven. It is only through Jesus Christ that we become changed and renewed and have this new life. Jesus is our way out. We live in a world that is filled with wickedness and evil, and while God has promised that there will never be another flood, he never promised that the earth will not be destroyed. He never promised that there would not be any more wickedness. You see, there is this increasing wickedness around us that keeps pulling us away from God. And that is what we have to deal with in our lives and get rid of and continue to remove out of our lives so that we can grow closer and closer to God. And when God saves us from some of the things in life and we deal with painful circumstances, but He gets us through, then we should worship God for that and thank Him for all that He does for us. There was a time in my life where some really bad things happened, and they happened in a place where I thought they could never happen. You see, I thought that church itself was such a protected environment, and I was so naive to believe that the sinfulness of the world was not as strong here and that bad things couldn't happen, and then suddenly something horrible happened. And it happened to not only me, but to the church and to people around us, and this thing just about took my life over. I mean, I was so consumed by it that I just wanted to quit. I wanted to quit ministry altogether and to do something else, and it was just horrible to me. And many times I just said, God, why? Why is this happening? Why are these things happening? Why does bad stuff have to happen? Why do we have to deal with this? Why am I going through this, God? But see, I picked up God's word one day, and I began to read and see how bad things happened all of the time to good people, and how every single time God got them through. And I prayed to God that day, and I gave myself over to God and said, God, whatever it takes, I will do whatever you want me to do. And from that point on, I followed God in that whole situation, and God got me through. Not only did He get me through, but He helped me to grow stronger than I ever was before. And in this world that is filled with wickedness and that is trying to corrupt us and pull us down, the only one that will ever help us and get us through is God. No matter how many times you try to stop yourself from sinning on your own, it will never happen until you have the strength of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to pull you out of sinfulness. So God hates wickedness and evil, but regardless of how evil things get, God always provides a way out. He offered a way out for Noah, and He offers a way out for us through Jesus. God completely destroyed all life on earth, and yet He created life on earth again through Noah and Noah's family. And because of what God had done for him, Noah worshiped God and followed God all the days of his life. And God made a covenant with Noah, just as He makes a covenant with us today. The promise and covenant God made with Noah was for all humanity. He has given us life. He's given us life on this earth. We wake up every day. We breathe. We can move, and there's all the stuff that we can do. And that is more than we deserve. It is more than we deserve to live because of the sin that is within us. And God's view of wickedness and sinfulness has not changed. God hated it in the day of Noah. God hates it now. God was grieved by it in the day of Noah, and God is grieved by it now. And yet He has promised not to flood the earth again, but He will ultimately punish and remove all wickedness. For us, it is Jesus Christ who came into the world and died on the cross for our sins, who has ultimately destroyed all wickedness. It is only in Jesus Christ that wickedness in our life is covered over through the blood of Christ. And it is only through Jesus that we are made worthy to be in the presence of God and to have God working in our lives at all. And so my question to you today is, do you know Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about knowing about Jesus Christ or knowing of Jesus Christ. I am saying, do you truly know Jesus Christ? Some of you may say, well, I said the prayer, and I asked Jesus into my heart, and so sure, I know Jesus Christ. Just because you say a prayer, just because you say, Jesus, come into my heart, that does not mean that you truly know Jesus. You see, anybody can fake a prayer. Anybody can say the prayer and say it over and over again, but if it did not come from your heart, if you did not truly mean it, if you did it only because you wanted fire insurance, and if you only said that prayer so that you would be able to go to heaven, and there was never any change in your life whatsoever, then there's a good chance that you might not even be saved. You see, it is in salvation that we become a new creation, which means we are made new. We have a new life and our life changes. If you said the prayer of salvation and your life never changed and you have no affection and delight in God, then you might be in trouble. And that's why I ask today, do you truly know Jesus? Because the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And it is through a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And it first takes understanding that you are a sinner, and understanding that you have sinned, and feeling and experiencing a deep grief for that sin, and hating that sin like God hates sin. If you have never felt grief for your sin, if you have never been sorry that you have sinned, then you're not saved. Because the first step is not only recognizing that you are a sinner, but recognizing that that sin has destroyed your relationship with God, and it is keeping you from God, and feeling this deep grief and pain for the sin that you have committed in your life. That's the first step. And once you recognize that and you realize that the only way to deal with it is Jesus Christ, and then you grab on to Jesus because He is the one that saves you from your sin. And when you follow after Jesus all the days of your life, and in your life, every time you sin, you feel grief, and you give that to Jesus, and you continue to grow more and more and to be changed by God more and more, then you know, I am saved, I am a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, and it is you who can accept the promise from God that He will never leave you or forsake you. And it is you and only you who can accept the promise that says God, who has started a good work in you, will carry it on to completion. I pray that you truly, truly know Jesus. And if you have any doubt or any question in your mind, then please talk to somebody. Come talk to me. Talk to one of our adults and say, you know, I'm not quite sure. Because it is only through Jesus Christ's death on the cross that provides a way for you to live in a forgiven, right relationship with God. The only way that you could be called righteous, the only way that you could be called a saint, the only way that you could be a child of God is through Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you this. I know many of you have been on the internet and you take these little quizzes and you have all these different answers that you could choose from, and it tells you something about yourself. Well, if you could be rated by God on your level of righteousness right now, how do you think God would rate your level of righteousness in your life? Would it be 0%, no righteousness whatsoever? Would it be in the middle, I'm you know, halfway there? Would it be you're completely and totally righteous? How would God rate your righteousness today? And understand that this is a growing process. We don't immediately become, you know, perfect people. It is a process that over time we slowly begin to get rid of the evilness in our life and the sinfulness, and we start chipping away at the dark sin in our life, and we become more and more and more righteous as we become more mature. What can you do to live a righteous lifestyle? What can you do in school to change the way you live? What can you do at work? What can you do at home to change the way you are and the way you live and to live a more righteous life? These are the things and the areas that you need to start working on. And continue to remember this: righteousness grows through obedience. The more that you are obedient to God and obedient to His Word, and the more you begin to live your life in such a way that you should, the more righteous you become. And really, that's what maturity is all about. To learn more and more about the Bible and about how you should live and begin to understand more about what is right and wrong and to apply that to your life so that you please God. You become more mature and more righteous and you please God more. And if anything, we need to get rid of the things that God hates in our life and start doing the things that God delights in and that He loves and that He wants from us. This concludes our podcast for today. Please join us next week as we continue our study in Genesis.